A loss of a Consumer Electronics Show presentation can mean only one thing. Invasion.
The format war is going according to plan.
Very good. Begin selling your Blu-ray players.
My lord, is that legal?
I will make it legal.
In a world where there are too many HD disc formats.
I will sign no exclusivity agreements, Sony.
Have it your way.
Process them.
Roger, roger.
The fate of the market rests with one man.
I'm Michael Bay. Walker, I'm here to save you.
You're who?
I directed Transformers.
Oh, right. Fine. Let's go.
Soon we will finally win a format war. At last we will have our revenge.
You have been well built, PS3. They will be no match for you.
I sense a great disturbance in the HD DVD market. As if a million souls suddenly realize they wasted their money.
Use a format? Gonna die?
But will his new love tear him away from what he believes in his heart?
What's the matter, Michael? What's all this smashed junk laying around?
The HD DVD players. I killed them all because I hate them like sand.
By the way, I'm pregnant.
What? How? No, I can't afford a kid.
Different formats lead to confusion.
I can help you with the bills, young Baywalker.
Confusion leads to apathy.
But you must join the blue side.
Apathy leads to market share loss.
I will do what you say, my lord. I will even learn to keep my movies from sucking.
Good.
From the creators of the Minidisc and Betamax.
Wow, look at these great prices on Blu-ray players.
It's a trap! Comes an adventure 30 years in the making.
Michael, what are you doing? Blu-ray is evil!
From my point of view, HD DVD is evil.
Christ, you're a shitty actor!
That disc came from Warner Brothers. Their Blu-rays are operational.
HD DVD can't withstand a release schedule of that magnitude!
We've got to give Toshiba more time.
Don't miss the movie everybody is talking about.
Are you threatening me, Microsoft?
The consumers will decide your fate.
I am the consumers.
HD Wars.
And what of the DVD players, my lord?
Wipe them out. All of them.
Should we also release some good PS3 games?
We'll do that later.
Coming soon to DivX.
Happy New Year 2008, and welcome back to the BenHeck.com podcast. I am Ben Heck.
And I am Jason Jones.
Yes. And we're here to talk at you for another hour of your life. Okay, well, hey, no one noticed that we actually missed a week.
Or did they?
I didn't get any emails about it. I
got
some
emails. That's a sign.
Right, I had a few emails saying, hey, where is your Future of Video Gaming article? It's an odd-numbered year. Reminded me about that, but I don't know. New Year's was kind of at the same time as podcast time last week, so I figured best to skip it and play Rock Band instead.
There you go.
Yes. All right, well, we have some topics today, you'll be glad to know. And two of them involve movies, which sometimes people don't like, but too bad. Topic one is, official online tech support is shit. Now, by this, I mean, let's say you have a problem with, I don't know, a video card or something that you bought. And, you know, of course, the company wants you to go online and use their search engine database, knowledge base, whatever they call it, because it's obviously cheaper than, you know, having a tech support person talk to you. Fine. But most of those sites, or a lot of the ones you come across, or I've come across, seem to be worthless.
Yeah.
You know, you'll type in something, it should be plainly obvious, something they should have, and they'll say, no search results, you know.
Yeah. Like you type in an error code or something, you know, and you would figure.
At least the number would return something,
yes,
you know?
But, yeah, nothing. Or some sort of gobbledygook that doesn't pertain to what you're looking for.
Right, so we're going to talk about that, what sites we think are the worst, what sites are decent. Okay, then our second topic is movie story cliches. Now, remember, we did movie cliches once, I think. Or did we? Was that movie cliches or game cliches we did? I know we did game cliches.
Yeah.
Right. So anyway, movie story cliches, not necessarily movie cliches like L-shaped sheets or what's another one? Thunder and lightning at the same time.
Yeah.
Or every car in the movie the brakes squeak when it comes to a stop. No, these are story cliches. And I don't know if anyone's ever noticed out there, but pretty much every movie has the same plot.
Yeah.
And we're going to get into that and how it refers to the hero's journey, which is a term for a basically a classical hero myth. We'll get into that. And the third topic, which is movie-related, is Blu-ray versus HD DVD Round 3. And we bring this up because just recently Warner Brothers announced that it's going to go Blu-ray only, which probably means the end of HD DVD. So since we've both messed around with high-def formats a lot since last we talked about it, we're going to talk about it. Great, huh?
Yes.
All right, well, let's get started. The usual games we've been playing. I have been still playing Rock Band.
I can't believe it.
Yes, we gave Rock Band quite a workout on New Year's. It was a lot of fun. I knew it would be a good game for a New Year's party, and it certainly was. Were you there the other night when that on the leaderboard, someone like just rocketed past Seventh Son?
Oh yeah,
like the drunkards.
I was here the other night, you were flipping through that, and yeah, they were up to like 180 million fans or something. And they just came like out of nowhere because it was Seventh Son.
Took a while to get up there.
Yeah, but they were pretty much like at the top the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
Then these guys must have been some kids on Christmas break or something, and they just went batshit with it.
Probably. Well, there's four of them, and the drunkards spelled with an E at the end. And whereas Seventh Son is just two people, I think, so that'll do it. Yeah, I've also been, like, trying to polish off more of Oblivion before I give it back to you. I just completed
when that happens.
I just completed the Dark Brotherhood stuff last night, so I got some more achievement points. Yahoo. It increased my infamy, but my fame is still quite a bit higher, so I'm good.
Nice.
Yeah. Oh, and my sister got me Contra 4 for the DS for Christmas, and it is freaking hard.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's like Contra Hardcore, which is the Contra game on Genesis, hard. Yeah, I actually had to switch it to easy to really enjoy it, to be quite honest.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty hard. And you've been playing much, or...?
Nope, haven't really played anything lately. Yeah, it was funny, I think it was yesterday while I was watching the football games and stuff, and there was an ad for the PS3, and it just cracked me up. Because all it was Blu-ray movies in the ad.
I've seen that one too.
Oh, Spider-Man 3, and you know, it went through all these Blu-ray movies, and then at the end they just show the PS3 sitting there, and then, you know, blah, 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 Blu-ray. And it's like, wow, way to not even sell it as a game system. You know, it's just like,
well,
here, look, it's
there aren't that many games for it, although I really want to try that Drake's Fortune game.
Yeah. Well, I know, I mean, it ties into what we've been saying, you know, is that to me, that's its only appealing feature still, is that it's a Blu-ray player. But
well, I'll tell you what, that Warner Brother announcement, that probably increased my desire to get a PS3.
Yeah.
I mean, right, I could see myself getting one this year, actually. Just because, you know, I have like a high-def TV now.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, Blu-ray, I mean, I don't watch a lot of movies, but I do watch movies every so often, so.
Well, it's good for you to have a PS3 laying around for your work anyway, you know, for testing
one that's
things.
One that's in one piece.
Yeah, kind of like the old days when you'd have to come down to my house every other day to test, like, your single-handed controller on the 360 because you didn't have one yet, so.
Yeah, that was my main motivation for getting an Xbox 360 actually at the time, and I'm like, wow, this thing is fun! Yeah, that's a good point. Actually, you wouldn't believe, I still get, I mean, not like floods, but probably at least one email every day asking for a PS360 controller.
Really?
I don't know why. And then I, you know, tell them an exorbitant price, and you know, then they never email back. But still, yeah, it would be useful to have around. I don't know. Maybe you better just buy one. I don't know. Who cares?
Wow.
I mean, why not? I have two Escorts.
That's true.
You just brought this up. Someone's proposed a 1% sales tax on video games in Wisconsin.
Yeah.
And what,
Joe,
what is it,
Joe Erpenbach, some putz senator here in Wisconsin, or representative, whatever, in the state. Apparently he thinks, so yeah, we should put a 1% sale added tax onto video games, and then that money can go into some sort of fund for troubled children, or some shit like that.
Okay, I know some people get addicted to video games. The last time I checked, they're healthier than smoking or drinking, things that do have tax.
Yes.
The thing is, people need to realize, same thing with the smoking tax, but I do not want to get into that here. Where will it end?
Yeah.
Stop incrementalism now. I don't think that bill will pass, but
yeah, I hope not, because it's just stupid. It's just posturing is all it is. It's like, oh, look at me, I care about children. That's what that putz is trying to pull off. It's like, give me a break.
There's
pass
a lot of
real
other
bill that does something for somebody.
Why not just dump some pork barrel? Because I'm sure Wisconsin has some.
Oh, I'm sure.
And give that to the kids. No, we can never dump anything. Just,
yeah.
Leave the video games alone.
Well, there is a reason why we're one of the highest tax states, I guess, so.
Yes, but I don't. Yeah, what is it like? I would assume New York and California and us.
Actually,
we're like third.
We're like fifth or sixth, I think.
Oh, it's gone down?
Yeah, but we're still, you know, pretty damn high out of 50 states, you know. So, but
whatever. Well, our sales tax isn't that, but like 5.5, but
yeah, but like our income tax and property taxes are all a little strong, and we pay a pretty significant tax at the old gas pump, too, compared to a lot of other states.
Oh, even compared to like Michigan or
mm-hmm.
Not Illinois. Illinois is kind of expensive, but I still like Wisconsin.
Yeah, it's all right.
Except for the snow. Why don't they use that tax money to, like, get rid of the snow? Anyway, yeah, so that's an interesting item. Hopefully it gets shot down. Most of the video game things they try to, I mean, that's the first time I've heard of a tax. Usually it's, you know, make it a felony to sell someone an M-rated game, which is complete horse shit. So it's like, I could steal a car, I could rob someone at gunpoint, or I could sell a 17-year-old an M-rated game. These are all the same thing.
Yeah, obviously.
Right. I mean, okay, I could see maybe like a fine like they have if you sell cigarettes to a minor or whatever.
Yeah.
Even I think that's a little steep, but it's ridiculous. Okay, yeah, let's move on to our fourth and final.
Which is kind of a big news item, too, and it's actually against our beloved Xbox or whatever that thing is.
We are speaking, of course, of the Xbox Live service problems.
Yes, it's been pretty damn rough since Christmas. For like 2 weeks. Yeah.
Well, see, I don't understand that. I thought everyone bought a Wii. Why is the Xbox experiencing a service overload? No one bought it.
Yeah. That's what I heard.
Well, the Wii probably doesn't have an online problem because it has no online.
Yes.
Still, it's
well, I read something
not very cool.
Yeah, I read something where they're claiming, you know, that they've had 2 million new people sign up for Live in the past couple of weeks, which, yeah, that's pretty huge considering they just announced that they hit 10 million Live subscriptions total. But it's like, in a way, you know, it's like, shouldn't you have been kind of tracking your sales of your systems over the past, you know, couple, 3 months, and thought, you know, we probably need to, you know, add some more infrastructure into our Live service in order to handle that potential load that's going to come
along. So much like Nintendo, they should have anticipated something but chose not to.
Yes.
Look, we just compared them. Are you all happy?
And this one's extra frustrating because it's like, I could stomach it more if it was the PlayStation Network or the Nintendo one, because
free.
Those are free, but people pay for this, and to me it's pretty unacceptable, really. I mean, it's one thing if you have, like, a disruption on a day, you know, and your service is down for a few hours or something. I mean, shit happens, but this has been going on for weeks.
Right, and especially annoying is I use my Xbox as a DVD player now on my new TV. So even to turn on the Xbox, you know, it logs into Live as soon as you turn it on. It sits there and has that spinning thing trying to log in. So you can't do anything until it logs in. So even if you want to watch a movie or something, you have to wait.
You could change that so it doesn't auto-log in if you wanted.
Yeah, but it's useful.
Yeah. But yeah, so they, and you go out to Xbox.com or whatever on their support page, and where Xbox Live is, it just says up and running and all that, and it's like, well, obviously there's still something wrong, because a lot of people still can't sign up for Live or recover their gamer tags or any of that sort of stuff, so there's definitely some shit that's still broke or overloaded or whatever, and they need to get on their horse.
If you don't log into Live, a lot of arcade games won't run because they have to validate.
Yeah, that's if you... See, this is a big thing where this here kind of adds a lot of fuel to the fire of people that are pissed off about Microsoft's DRM with the arcade games, because the thing is, like, let's say you bought an original 360 or whatever, and you downloaded some arcade games, everything was hunky-dory, and then, oh, you got the Ring of Death. So then you had to send it in, they send you a refurb unit back, and now, yeah, you can reload all your games under your gamer tag, but if you're offline or whatever, you can't play them.
So that occurs if you swap out your Xbox?
Yep, because it's actually, when you download the game, it ties it to your gamer tag and console ID. So, like, that initial
that
download...
And doesn't change after you get a new console?
Nope. So, basically, what it does is it has that console
ID. Even if it's
ID.
A refurb? That's not fair.
Yeah, even if it's a refurb, because I guess there's some licensing chip that they can move to the new one. Like, if you specifically request it when you send your 360 in to get repaired, they can swap that into the new or your refurb unit you're going to get back. But, because, yeah, when you originally download an arcade game, like on the 360 you've got, you know, you've bought, like, Heavy Weapon, you could go down there and play that offline right now because it's on the system you originally downloaded it onto. But if your 360 dies or whatever and you send it in to Microsoft and they send you a refurb back, the only way you'll be able to play it is if you're connected to Xbox Live.
Or if I got an Elite and, like, took my hard drive and transferred all the data, same problem.
Yep, you wouldn't even have to transfer the data. If you just took the hard drive from your old one and plunked it onto an Elite, it would have the same behavior where you would have to be online to play the game.
What would happen if I just got... Let's say I bought an Elite and transferred my gamertag over to it just by recovering the gamertag on the new console and then re-downloading the games I've already downloaded since you're allowed to do that.
You'd still have to be online to play them.
So basically
it's tied to that piece of hardware.
If you re-download it on a new console, it's tied to the first shot?
Yep.
Yeah, so, that needs to be fixed.
So yeah, it's pretty ridiculous, and this thing right here is going to add a lot of fuel to the fire. Because, you know, here for 2 weeks, people have had a lot of trouble logging on to Live, you know, whatever. And so basically, by Live not being available, people aren't able to play the content that they've purchased.
I guess
for a significant period
of
time. So that's this could, you know, kind of push that a bit. I don't know if anything will change.
That said, I don't think it's $5 million worth of damages to three people.
No, I don't think so. Maybe they do things different in Texas. I don't know.
Well, they're going to give you a free arcade game.
Yeah, whatever that's going to be.
Yeah, maybe they'll let you choose.
Yeah, I think they should, like, credit everybody, you know, 400 or 800 points, whatever they choose, but just credit everybody who's like a gold member of Xbox Live. I don't think they should give it to the silver members, because screw them. But the gold members are the people that pay for the service, and so...
Yeah, but silver members might buy games. They paid for that.
That's true in a way, I guess, but I don't know. Maybe give silver members 400 points, give gold members 800 points or something.
Well, okay.
But then that way... Because there's some people that don't buy arcade games. They don't care about the arcade games. But that way they can at least take those points and they can go and buy some, you know, a map pack or something that they want to get or whatever. And the problem with giving out an arcade game is unless they give out one that's like a brand new game that nobody will have bought, it's going to be, you know, they might say, oh, everybody can have Heavy Weapon for free. And it's like, well, me and you bought that already. So that
I bet they'll give you, like,
us.
I bet you'll be able to choose or something.
I think they should just do points.
That's true. That would be even better.
I mean, they've proved that they can do that already because when they had the 5-year anniversary thing for Xbox Live, it was like anybody who had been a member for the full 5 years, they gave them like 500 points to their account. So it's like, they can do it. It's like, just step up and do it. I'm sure they got to figure out all the crap behind the scenes, you know, of crediting, you know, all the money for all those points somewhere and whatever, kind of like the Ring of Death $1 billion, you know, it's got to come from somewhere. But
I will say this, though. It's, you know, it costs money, but it costs like a tenth of what a cell phone or costs in a year.
Oh, yeah, it's
like
dirt.
A 20th of what a cable internet costs.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it sucks, but, you know, people are thinking they should, like, prorate and Microsoft should have to bend over backwards. They should take appropriate measures, but,
yeah,
you know.
I mean, I'm not expecting the world, but I think when they do things like that DRM bullshit with their games and things, if they're going to pull that sort of horse shit, Xbox Live should pretty damn near be up all the time.
But, you know, people rip on them, but Microsoft makes good in the end.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, at least they try to remedy the situation and, you know, give people something, you know.
Right. All right, well, let's go on to our first topic, finally. Official online tech support is shit, speaking of tech support. Yeah, there's probably not a whole lot we can say about this one. That's good, because it'll save us time for the other two topics.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it was Adobe Illustrator gave me some sort of error. No, it was QuickTime. Yeah, it was QuickTime that did this. I was running QuickTime, and it gave me an error, like error 42 or something. I went to QuickTime site, typed it in. No documents found.
Nice.
Nothing. I'm like, this is stupid. QuickTime, the program, it wasn't a Windows error. QuickTime gave me an error.
Well, I know why that is, though. Because Apple products don't have problems. So,
oh, that's right. So their database is just empty because you're not going to have a problem.
Yeah. I mean, obviously. What the hell were you thinking?
I guess I wasn't thinking. So I searched for it. I just typed it into Google, and then lo and behold, people in forums are talking about it. Yeah. Like, oh, yeah, here's what that is. Here's how to fix it. Yeah. You know? And that happens so often with these online tech supports. They're just so worthless.
Yeah.
You said there's some you can think of that you don't like?
Yeah, like Dell's is pretty much dog shit as far as I'm concerned. Like at work, I have to deal with that quite a bit because Dell is our computer supplier for our company. So everything we've got is Dell. And it's like you'll run into some little issue or, you know, some sort of goofy thing. Like if you're building up a server or something and it's, you know, something where maybe you get an error code or it's just something, you know, that doesn't seem like it should be that obscure. Go out to Dell's site, good freaking luck. Like, I can't imagine being, you know, like Joe Blow consumer trying to go out there and find some sort of information because it's just horrible. I mean, I can't find shit on there. It's like if we have a machine and we need drivers for it or something, Dell has their nice service tag, which is essentially their serial number. You'd think you go out there and plunk that in on their site that it would bring up, it would know what spec your machine was, like what video card it had in it, all this stuff, and it would just go, you know, here's all the drivers you need for your machine. No, it'll like crap out, you know, here's like 5 different video card drivers that could possibly be for that machine, you know, and it's just like freaking horrible. It's just,
yeah. Sounds awful.
And it is. It disgusts me even thinking about it.
But you like Dell as a product, though, don't you?
Yeah, they're pretty good. They've kind of fallen off a little in quality in the last year and a half, though, I would definitely say.
Hmm.
I think it's because the computer industry is getting so competitive anymore that everybody's kind of cutting corners wherever they can. And I mean, shit, I saw something in yesterday's paper where, like, they're selling Dells at Walmart now, I think.
Well, there's your problem.
Yeah. And they had a laptop, and it actually wasn't that bad of a machine. It was only, like, $498. And I was just like, God, how are they even making money on some of this shit? You know?
They didn't used to sell Levi's at Walmart. And then once they did, guess what? All the Levi's factories had to go overseas.
Yeah.
That's a whole nother discussion, but... It could be that. Maybe that's part of it.
Yeah,
it could be. Dell's a big deal, but Walmart is bigger.
Yeah, true. Yeah, so Dell's site sucks. Like their support site, it's just not good.
I like my Dell monitors.
Yeah, I like my Dell computer that I've had at home. I've had that for like probably 6 years or something.
Oh man, you should like build a new one. It makes you feel good inside.
I guess I barely use my computer at home, so.
Oh, I guess I can't blame you. You said you don't like the Adobe site either?
Yeah, it's just...
Oh, God, what about Acrobat? Is that like the clunkiest piece of crap ever or what?
Yeah, Acrobat is like one of the worst freaking programs on the planet. Especially like the Adobe Reader shit for reading PDFs and all that. It's like, it's a reader, but the installer's like, what, 50-some megs now? I mean, all it does is reads frickin' PDFs. I mean, why does it have to be that big and bloated? And then, I swear it has an update every week.
And it always wants to install, like, Chinese characters or some bullshit.
Yeah.
It's like, hello, I'm not Chinese.
Yeah, it's like Adobe's site, yeah, with their support. It's very similar. Like, looking up stuff on there is just kind of looking for a needle in a haystack, like, from the support angle. I don't know, it's surprising to me because, you know, these are tech companies. You know, maybe the problem is they just have tech people making these support knowledge bases and stuff, and they don't have anybody kind of working with the tech people to say, okay, well, here's how Joe Sixpack's going to come in and look for information or whatever, you know, and we need to kind of, you know, simplify it a bit so they can find the information they're looking for, you know, and because it's just like a big glut of shit out there on most of these sites, and you got to sift through it. Where otherwise, you can go over to Google, usually, like you said, type in the same damn error message, and bam, it'll come up in some forum somewhere.
Mm-hmm. And it's usually good information.
And you can usually find the answer pretty quickly. Like, really, like, I work in IT, as I think most people out there know by now, and it's just, generally, I don't even go to the actual vendor's site. I just go into Google, type in the error message.
I know that's what Kurt was doing that one time when we were doing that server thing the other, mm-hmm. Remember that one night?
Yeah, I mean, because it's, you know, Google is a great tool. Like I always say to the new people that start at work, like we have interns and stuff, and they'll come and ask me questions about stuff, and I'll be like, well, did you check Google? And they're like, well, no. And I'm like, that should always be like your first freaking thing is you go and search in Google.
I think these companies should think about that sort of thing and be like, you know, we better be careful, like Google can like leverage this against us. I mean, maybe they already have.
Yeah.
It's kind of sad when an own company's website, you know, can't find the information that a third party venue can. I think Wikipedia is the same way. It's kind of shunned in the mainstream, so to speak. Like, oh, it's completely inaccurate.
And yeah.
It tells you George Washington was born in 1973 or something, but you know, anything you search for on the internet always points to Wikipedia. Yeah. There's a lot of information on it. It's almost like, it's kind of like the web 3.0 or whatever they would call it.
Yeah.
The stuff is really, the web's almost becoming like its own entity, and it knows everything, and just trying to have one site or a support site that knows everything is almost like moot.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like, yeah, Wikipedia, it's like, yeah, most things you search for, it seems like, you know, if it's like a person or a place or whatever, you know, it seems like a Wikipedia page is in like the top 3 to 5 entries almost every time.
Mm-hmm. You know what I hate? When I search for like technical stuff and my own site comes up, it happens more often than you'd think.
I suppose it's because of the forums and things too, I bet.
Yeah, I searched for a pinout of something and my site was like the 4th result, and I'm like, no, I don't think that's going to help. that just makes me feel self-conscious, but yeah. I mean, it's cool that it shows up that high, but yeah, I guess that's my problem. Well, one site I've noticed, you don't always go there directly, but a lot of times other sites point you to it, is the Microsoft site actually seems to have pretty decent information.
Yeah, it's in my job, that's like about, like I don't go to a lot of different sites because we try to standardize a lot on like what we support. So it's basically like Microsoft, Adobe, Dell, and that's the majority of the stuff. And but yeah, Microsoft, I mean, their site's not perfect, but compared to most of the other ones out there, it's pretty damn solid, I'd say. You know, like you can, you know, generally I can go out there and search and boom, you know, here I can find generally what I'm looking for, or if I have a knowledge base article number, type that in, boom, it comes up.
Even if it's like some dumb little thing, like a little command line prompt program to do some sort of registry trick, I mean, there's a page for it on Microsoft, and you can find it.
Yeah, and it's very well laid out, too, you know, like it'll say,
and
you
it's
know,
simple.
This, here it is, this is what this entails. It's like it applies to these operating systems. You know, this is the error message you'll receive, and this is the cause of it. Here's the fix, or here's the workaround. You know, it's very well laid out, very easy to follow, and, you know, the majority of the time you get the answer you're looking for, from my experience. So,
right.
I gotta give them some credit for that.
Well, Microsoft, more than anyone, probably realizes that Google can be a threat and thus wants to step up their game.
Yeah.
You know, Google wants to take out Microsoft, you know.
Oh, yeah. Of course they do.
Who doesn't? Yeah,
so that's pretty much the deal on those as far as I'm concerned.
What if Google bought Apple or something? That'd be interesting.
That'd be funny.
So what's this like Google phone they're supposed to make? Like it's called Android or something?
I don't know what they're even calling it, but I'm curious. It'll be interesting because Google always does, you know, some interesting stuff, so it'll be pretty neat to see what they come up with.
I'm sure I've said this 1,000 times, but I'm still surprised Adobe hasn't released an Office suite. Although if it's anything like Acrobat Reader, I guess it's good that they haven't.
Yeah. Ugh.
Oh, yeah, Acrobat Reader is just... Oh, and it'll hang your web browser a lot. I don't know if you ever have that happen. And they, and every time it updates itself or changes, which is, you know, like every week, it becomes harder and harder to use. And it used to be you could, like, right-click and there'd be, like, you know, like... Or, like, you hit the Z button for Zoom. No, that doesn't work.
Hmm, nice.
You know, you had to, like, right-click and get a marquee Zoom. It's so counterintuitive. It's,
Yeah, it's... I don't know what the hell they're doing over there, but... Yeah, it seems like with each iteration, like, Adobe Reader gets worse.
You know, it did the same exact thing, you know, 10 years ago on a computer with 32 megs of RAM.
Yeah.
What is the freaking difference?
Yeah, it's like, granted, PDFs, you know, are a bit more complex now, and, you know, they do more things with them with, like, indexing and things like that, but still, it...
Oh, and then it always wants to install, like, Adobe Photo Camera Raw Bridge or whatever that is. Or...
Yeah, or if you're, like, out on their site and you download for the first time, it's like, oh, hey, here, why don't you install the Google Toolbar, too? And it's like, no, fuck you, if I wanted the Google Toolbar, I think I know where Google's at. I'll go out and get it myself, thanks.
Oh, I've got one for you. iTunes. Every time I run iTunes, it puts the icon back into my quick launch and moves the icon on the desktop and reconfigures itself every time I run it.
Yep.
Why?
Because they're bastards.
All right, well...
That's because you have to update it every time you use it. And then it actually... That's the thing I love with that, too, is that it's like, you don't actually update iTunes. You download an entirely new version and install it again.
Oh, yeah, at least Adobe updates itself.
Yeah, it's like clunky-ass shit.
Yeah, you're right. That's terrible. All right, so I think that's about all we have to say about that. So, yes, companies, improve your online tech support or Google will swoop in and take over before you know it. All right, let's move on to our next topic, movie story cliches.
Yay!
Originally, we were going to have War of the Web Browsers because recently Netscape died or was euthanized, I suppose would be a better way of putting it.
Like a companion cube.
There it is. But... Since that's kind of a trite news story compared to Blu-ray, we let it be. So we switched it to movie story cliches. Now, I'll tell you how I got started on this hero's journey thing. I was trying to work out my outline for my Kings and Queens of Karaoke movie, which, as you know, is a movie I've been talking about for, what, like going on 6 years now?
Yeah, it's been a long time.
It was just... It was when we were filming Port Washington when I first had the idea.
Yeah.
And I had an outline written for it once, and it was on my laptop, but then the laptop hard drive died. luckily, the battery didn't explode. It wasn't a Sony. So anyway, I was trying to piece back the outline from memory a couple weeks ago, and I thought about, maybe I should try to apply this to the hero's journey. The hero's journey is this... Was it like some author?
Wasn't it Joseph Campbell?
Yes. First, kind of like wrote a book about it where he's like, you know what? All these stories are the same, basically.
Yeah, it was like in the late 40s.
Right.
He wrote it, yeah.
And it's kind of beyond the scope of this podcast, but, you know, you have like a young hero, kind of like a Neo-Turf Masters. And what is it? There's like a call to adventure. They always have to reject the call initially.
Yeah.
You know, like... Yeah.
Well, they have to, like, accept it or reject it.
And usually they accept it.
Yeah.
And there's usually a mentor character that helps them accept it. Then they go into the belly of the whale or something.
And then they have to actually, like,
English-lit people are probably, like, rolling their eyes.
Yeah. Then they have to accomplish whatever the hell it is, you know, that they set out for. Or actually they have to go through a bunch of trials.
Yep.
Along the way. And then they accomplish whatever it is they're trying to do. And then they kind of come back to reality after that and apply whatever they kind of learned along the way to...
their old life.
Their old life, yeah.
But then their new life sucks them back in.
Yeah.
And then there's a final conflict. And then at the end, they are masters of two worlds or some bullshit like that.
Yes.
And so I looked at all this. And if you look it up on the web, Hero's Journey or Monomyth, as in one myth, you can read all about it, and it gives examples as to how, like, you know, movies over the years follow it. And you're supposed to apply stories to it to make the story sound structurally kind of, how do you put it? It's just, it's kind of like a generic skeleton in which to hang your story to make it solid. But the thing is, I think along the way, it made every story cliched and the same.
Yeah.
Like, I took it, and I kind of, like, laid it out, and because if you remember, I like to do, like, story outlines in Excel documents for some reason. I laid out the hero's journey, and I took my, what I had of the outline for my, I guess we should explain that. The movie I've been wanting to make ever since, even when we were doing Port Washington, is The Kings and Queens of Karaoke, which is basically Dirty Dancing with karaoke.
But and Bruce Campbell.
Yes, I think it'd be a solid movie. And that's one I've always wanted to make, so I keep thinking about it all the time. And it's weird. There's no explosions in it and only one gun.
Yeah.
Remember? It's very strange for a Ben Heckendorn movie. Anyway, so I'm like, yeah, actually a lot of the stuff in this movie, what I'd thought of, actually does kind of match the hero's journey. You know, a little tweaking, you can like make it pretty much fit.
Yeah.
And which is all well and good, but then, you know, you realize like every movie does this exact same thing.
Yeah.
So I thought we'd kind of talk about that. Now, as we mentioned, yeah, these are like story cliches, not little cliches. I think the big one I always noticed, I think, you know, I'm by no means a movie expert. You know, you would know this if you've seen any of my movies. But one of the big things I always noticed was every movie has what I always call the end of Act 2 fight.
Yeah.
Now, since most movies always follow a three-act structure, the first act, as it was very well put once, you get the hero up a tree, and that's usually like the first 20 minutes or 30 minutes, or if it's King Kong, the first hour and a half. In the second act, you throw rocks at them, and that's, you know, where, like, the guy's in love with the girl and, you know, things are happening, blah, blah, blah. And the third act is, like, the falling action or the climax, you know, where everything is resolved. Like in Port Washington, when they're in Port Washington, that's the third act.
Yeah.
Anyway, if you look at most movies, they always have, the two main characters always have a fight at the end of Act 2. So like in a 90-minute romantic comedy, for instance, it'll be about the 1 hour and 5 minute mark. No matter how well things are going, they always have a fight.
Yeah.
And that's, I mean, I think that's one of the most obvious.
Even Port Washington kind of had that.
And we did it just because it was supposed
that.
To have one.
Yeah. Because when me and you, where my character is going to give up or whatever, basically, and it's like, you know, we've gone too far and all that, and you're like, we can't quit now, and blah, blah, blah.
And then you're like, no, I'm going to give up.
Yeah.
But then there was actually another part of the hero's journey that happens. Derek had a night sea voyage in which he went and got something from his old self, which was Mandy the bar slut, Carolyn Peckham's character. And that pulled you back into the world, realizing that we had to finish what we started.
Yes.
So even inadvertently, we followed parts of the hero's story. I don't know about the kitten thing. I don't know where that fits in. But yeah, so it's just kind of weird because all these movies basically have the same structure. And it might make it solid, but it makes them all the same. I think like romantic movies or comedies are like the most acceptable.
Yeah, very obvious that... Yeah, pretty much all of those follow the same track.
Right. Like, I watched Knocked Up finally the other day, and pretty much all that stuff was there, and including the fight.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And it's like, well, it's a certain part of the movie. Let's have a fight. And then, of course,
and
like,
get back together, you know, at the end.
And it always happens that way. And I mean, you know, people, you know, these movies make money, people accept it, but I don't know. What do you think? Don't you think they should mix it up?
It'd be nice to see them mix it up. You know, I think that's why, you know, when certain movies come along, people are kind of dumbstruck by them in a way. You know, like when a movie like Children of Men or The Fountain or, you know, whatever, these kind of edgier movies come along because they don't follow the formula necessarily. And so people are kind of I don't know if you want to say put off, you know, but people might not quite know how to interpret them exactly, because they're like, well, wait a minute. You know, it's like, this didn't happen at this point in the movie like it does in 95% of them. You know, like, there's no Act 2 fight or, you know, whatever. And so, you know, people have gotten kind of dumbed down by what Hollywood's been churning out for a while, in a way, so they
right.
just expect every movie's going to follow this path, and it's unfortunate, but thankfully there's still some filmmakers out there trying to not follow the form, I guess. But
mm-hmm.
That's why I want to see that There Will Be Blood movie, because I read about that, you know, and they say, like, the first 20 minutes of the movie, there's, like, no dialogue at all. And it's like, well, that's pretty gutsy for a movie nowadays. Plus, it's P.T. Anderson and Daniel Day-Lewis. I mean, why the hell wouldn't you want to watch that movie? But
Pixar's next movie, WALL-E, is like that, too. Like, the first 20 minutes is no dialogue.
Yeah.
Which is also gutsy, especially for a kid's
movie.
For
a kid, yeah, so.
Yeah, I just, yeah, I mean, I think about movie ideas a lot and stuff, and...
And it's not that some of these movies aren't enjoyable.
Well, no, it's not that. It's just that they're all the same.
It's just they're the same, yeah. Because I was like National Treasure, you know, like I saw the new National Treasure, and I'm like, well, this was basically the first movie done again. It was still entertaining, but there wasn't really anything new to it. And, you know, National Treasure is kind of like, you know, Raiders of the Lost Ark or whatever. You know, it's your typical adventure movie, like Romancing the Stone or whatever, mm-hmm. you know. And, I mean, those are all fun movies, you know, but it's just kind of like, you know, you have the same form all the time that the movies follow.
Right. Yeah, the,
I mean, at least National Treasure, you know, did some things kind of interestingly, you know, where it tied it into history and, you know, kind of tried to do a little spin on history or whatever, I guess, and grounded in reality to some extent, which was kind of fun, but...
I was talking to Dale earlier about this, and I think one of the best handled end of Act 2 fights in a movie was in Aladdin.
Oh, really?
You remember that movie, right?
It's been a while.
You know when they're flying around on the carpet and singing and falling in love and all that?
Yeah.
And then they're sitting on top of a building or something, and then she gets mad at him because he finds out who well, there's she finds out who he really is. There's a cliche in, like, Disney movies.
Yes.
You have to be yourself. I'm tired of living a lie. That's every freaking movie, except for Lilo and Stitch, which rocked.
Yes.
Anyway, so she gets mad at him, he apologizes, and then they're fine, you know?
Yeah.
He doesn't, like, go off and drink and, like, drive around in a Corvette looking at photographs, you know? They just move on.
Yeah.
But most movies do that, you know, like, Will Ferrell gets fired as Anchorman, he's like, no, I'm not an Anchorman!
Yeah.
And then just, like, sulk around and, like, in his underwear and eat dog shit or whatever. And
yeah.
Every movie does the same goddamn thing.
Well, I was like, yeah, like, well, I guess Will Ferrell again, but yeah, like in Old School or whatever, you know, like he gets married and then, like, within a couple of weeks he decides to, he gets drunk at that party and goes streaking or whatever, and his wife stumbles across him in town running nude or whatever, and so then their marriage hits the rocks and they end up getting, she kicks him out and he lives at his buddy's place and he just, you know, has a blast and nothing changes. You know, he's not sad about anything really or whatever and not depressed or anything. And it's like, that's all horse shit.
Yeah. Well, that's, you know, that's your dumb Will Ferrell movie. You know, he's kind of like the Kate Winslet of male actors. He just can't keep his clothes on. So for the problem in his case is he doesn't look like Kate Winslet.
Yeah. That is a problem. Yeah, it's hard not to see his bare ass at some point in a movie. It's true.
I mean, 50 First Dates is a great movie and all, but I wouldn't buy it on Blu-ray. So if we ever make another movie, we'll try to not use the hero's myth too much.
Yeah, we'll see what we can do.
Like an alien hunter, he wasn't going to learn anything, was he?
Yeah, I think he was just going to be kind of
a piece of crap.
Yeah.
See, that's the thing. There's not enough movies and shows where the hero is a piece of crap.
Yeah.
Look at that house show on TV. That guy's a complete asshole, and people love it.
It's true.
Or, like, look at the Clint Eastwood movies where he has no name.
Yeah.
He's a big dickhead.
Just a bastard. He's just, like, the least of the evils, usually.
Right. So, yeah. So I guess we kind of like talked about how all the movies are the same, but we really didn't offer any solutions.
Yeah. We didn't set out to, I don't think.
I think the one of the big problems with movies in that aspect is they're just not very realistic quite often.
Yeah.
You know, it's, I know we tried to, believe it or not, we actually tried to be realistic in Port Washington. You remember that was one of the intentions?
Yeah.
We thought the more realistic most of it could be, the more you could accept the ridiculous stuff.
Yeah.
I think that was the idea.
One thing that was kind of cool about Knocked Up is I thought it was fairly realistic for the most part with a lot of it. I mean, there were elements of it that
I couldn't buy that she worked in Hollywood and had to live with her sister, yet four stoners with no jobs had their own house in L.A. I mean, that's pretty hard to swallow. I'm sorry. I mean, the only reason they do that is because, you know, she needs her sister as a foil and he needs his friend as a foil, but...
Yeah.
Oh, go on.
Well, but just, you know, they never explain how they have that house, you know, like what the other guys have for income. Who knows, maybe one of them's, you know, some rich bastard's spawn or something, and so they pay for the place or something,
spawn.
I don't know, but... I just thought, like, the actual human interaction stuff in the movie was pretty close on.
That's
you know,
true.
Like,
that's
the stuff
true.
Where, like, she gets pissed at him because he didn't read the baby books and stuff. It's like, that shit's true because it's like, you know, it just shows that you're not committed and all that and that you're not, you know, willing to invest something in what's going on or whatever you want to call it, you know, so... I thought a lot of that stuff was pretty well handled, and like how, you know, like his reaction, you know, when they kind of had their end of act two fight, you know, was like, oh, you know, screw this, you know, I'm going to go off and have fun with my buddy or whatever.
That was his magic flight, to follow the hero's myth.
Yeah, and then, which a lot of people would probably react that way, you know, they'd be angry and they'd be like, okay, fine, you know, fuck her or whatever, you know, I'm going to go out and do this stuff, and then... Like, the way she reacted, I thought was very realistic, where she just wanted to kind of lay around and not do anything, and, you know, she just was depressed, basically, and...
Yeah.
And, but then her sister, you know, like, drags her out to try to kind of go back to the old life, you know, hero's journey thing again, I guess, to some extent.
Yeah.
She's like, let's go back out
Night to the... Night sea voyage!
You know, so, yeah, but, yeah, I thought a lot of that stuff was, you know, kind of well
I guess
handled
that's true.
And, like, where he kind of realizes, you know what, I gotta get my life back together if she's gonna give me a chance.
Through the help of the mentor character, Harold Ramis.
Yep. And so, you know, he's like, well, you know, fuck it. He's like, I can't be a father if I don't have a steady job. So he goes and gets a steady job, and, you know, he kind of cleans up his act and, you know, reads the baby books and things like that. You know, not expecting that she's ever gonna call him, but hoping that she will or whatever, you know, and... I think a lot of that stuff was genuine in that movie or whatever, so...
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't a perfect movie by any means, but I thought it had a lot of truth in it. And some of the arguments were, like,
truth.
Really...
I am truth!
Yeah. That was the thing that really struck me the first time I watched that movie, though, was the arguments, because they just... They're very biting and harsh and stuff, like, between the sister character and Paul Rudd or whatever, mm-hmm. and... It was just, some of that stuff was, like, really, you know, brutal.
Well, I think it goes back to, if you make things realistic, people can handle the unrealistic things better.
Yeah.
You know, grounded in reality as much as possible, so that when you kind of go off from reality, you know, like, when you have a guy with a ski mask, a scuba mask on, like, snorting pot into it.
Yeah.
You can accept
you
things
can
that ridiculous.
That, yeah.
Well, hey, we should probably move on to our last topic.
All right.
Yes, all you aspiring filmmakers out there, even though they'll want you to use the hero's myth, try to break up the routine. Even though if I write another movie, I'll probably use it. But don't do as I say.
The end.
Do as I do or whatever. Never mind. Okay. Yes. All right. Let's wrap this up with Blu-ray versus HD DVD round three. Right. So, obviously, Paramount shook things up by going HD DVD only a while back. So then Warner Brothers decided to go Blu-ray only.
And Warner Brothers was like the one studio out of all of them that was doing it right, I thought, before, where they were like, okay, fine, we're going to put all of our stuff in both formats. They basically did what all the other studios should have done.
But maybe by letting the consumer decide, they looked at the numbers and like, Blu-ray.
Yeah, maybe. But I mean, I can appreciate their decision. You know, they're kind of like, well, one of these formats has to win, you know, otherwise consumers aren't going
otherwise
to adopt.
Otherwise nobody wins.
Yeah, because it's, you know, they're... I was looking at HD and Blu-ray players a week or so ago, and the other...
It's like, whoever wins, we win.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, you're looking at players.
But I was looking at the players, and the prices have, you know, gotten down to pretty reasonable levels. Like, you know, you could buy a HD player for a couple hundred bucks, and there were... I think there was even some Blu-ray player. It wasn't a Sony one, but you could get it for, like, around $300 and all that. And then you get, like, the five free movies or whatever and all that crap, too, you know. And so, I mean, the players are pretty reasonable, but the sales still haven't really taken off. And that just, you know, kind of ties back into the whole thing where people are kind of waiting on the sidelines for one side or the other to win out. And I think with Warner Brothers making this decision, it pretty much... was the death knell for HD DVD, unfortunately, because I like HD DVD, but what are you going to do?
Well, I mean, it's good that they did that. I mean, they could have been real jerks and, like, went HD.
Yeah.
Then it would have been, like, a 50-50 split, and that wouldn't have helped anybody.
True.
And, you know, let's, you know, Paramount and Universal are obviously, you know, movie studios, in case you didn't know that.
Really?
Yes, but wow. You know, you have Disney, Fox, Sony, and Warner Brothers.
Yes, it's pretty much
not only is that more studios in number, but I think in general they're bigger hits. You know, Paramount had Transformers, Universal had, you know, Matt Damon killing people. Those are two movies, but by and large,
yeah,
you know, like
Disney, Warner Brothers has Harry Potter.
Mm-hmm. Disney releases like the top movies every year that no one ever realizes that, but they pretty much do.
And Warner's has got, like, Lord of the Rings and stuff like that,
yep,
too.
Yep, New Line.
Because of New Line.
Fox will have something called Star Wars on Blu-ray, yeah. I reckon.
Yep.
Sony, you know, the Spider-Man movies, oh, yeah, nobody likes those. And all Will Smith's movies, but...
But, yeah, it's a shame because from what I've... I mean, I'll be happy when one or the other wins, which now looks like Blu-ray's going to win. But I really hope that the Blu-ray... The studio is putting shit out on Blu-ray. I really hope they step their game up, because from what I've seen from both formats, I think HD DVD is much better...
Feature-wise?
Yeah, feature-wise, and like how the presentation of the discs and things. Like Warner Brothers does all their HD DVDs the same, like how the menus are and all that. Universal does all theirs the same. It's very easy to use, where like the Blu-rays, they're just kind of clunky and stuff with the way the menus and the interfaces are. Now granted, I haven't, like in the Warner Brothers case, I don't think I've tried out a Warner Brothers Blu-ray to see if it, you know, is similar to how the HD one is, but I don't know, just from the ones I've seen, you know, I've probably seen, I don't know, 6 or 7 Blu-rays, and then probably, I don't know, maybe 15 HD discs or something. Well, probably more than 15, but just, I don't know, they just seem better presented. They load quicker than Blu-rays. They, what else is it? The other nice thing with them is that their players are online enabled, so that... when these updates come out, like when a new disc comes out and it has some new feature set that it uses that the player doesn't quite know what to do with, there'll be an update you can pull down off the web and update it, and boom, away you go.
Although that's something they should get rid of entirely if they want to have mass adoption.
Yeah, exactly. But I was reading about Blu-ray and HD players a week or so ago, and I didn't realize this until I was just kind of out doing a little research, and Blu-ray players aren't online enabled, except for the PS3, of course. All the other ones are...
Which is probably, obviously, the top-selling Blu-ray player, but go on.
But all the other ones are not online enabled, so guess what? If, you know, some new disc comes out with new features, you have to go out onto some website, download a patch, burn it to a damn CD or whatever, and put it in your player and install the patch.
Lame.
It's like, who the hell is going to do that? And then if you buy, like, one of the more spendier Blu-ray players, it'll actually have, like, a SD card slot on it, I think. So at least that way you don't have to burn a disc to put the patch on. But
well, I would hope that they would either update the firmware or like finalize it,
yeah.
or update the firmware in such a way that if it needs more codecs, it can get them off. Oh, I don't know, the movie that
the
needs
disc.
The codecs.
Yeah,
what a shock.
That's what I was just going to say. I'm like, you know, we got this big bad Blu-ray. You know, it's supposed to have this massive amount of storage capacity. Why wouldn't you be able to put that stuff right on the disc?
Like a video game on a computer that comes with DX9.
Mm-hmm.
It's not rocket science, folks.
Yeah, so there's things like that that are definitely still obstacles, I think, to the stuff being adopted widely, even with one format.
Yeah, I've only seen a couple movies in Blu-ray or either, but even from those, I noticed the HD DVD, the menu system and all that was much slicker.
Yeah, and I've never noticed like a picture difference between them either.
I think the big thing people say, if anything, is the sound, because Blu-ray usually has uncompressed PCM 6-channel sound.
Yeah.
Whereas the sound is compressed on HD DVD, much like it is on most DVDs.
Well, they do that true HD thing on a lot of discs, and it's supposed to be like uncompressed or something on the HD DVDs.
You mean the sound?
Yeah.
Is that what that means?
I believe. Huh. I know I've seen it on some of my discs where it says like uncompressed, or it's PCM, yada yada yada, uncompressed audio.
Oh, that would be it. Well, so, but, you know, with Blu-ray, you've obviously got much more room.
Yeah.
I mean, you could have PCM audio on a DVD, but usually they don't because there's not enough room.
Yeah. I mean, Blu-ray, you know, of course it has the storage advantage, but it's like, you know, to me that's like the only advantage it really has.
Well, besides studio support now.
Well, yes, but, you know, it's, I don't know, it just seems like maybe the studios just kind of thought Blu-ray... I guess this doesn't make sense, but it's like, you know, maybe they thought Blu-ray wasn't going to win, or was going to win, so they just thought, well, we don't really need to try on those discs, so they just kind
of
plopped them out there.
Well,
yeah. But then why would they put a lot of effort into the HD discs? So,
to prove a point, maybe?
Could be.
You know, something else I've thought of, I've seen on comments already that people don't like, or they're against Blu-ray, well, not only because it's Sony, because Sony's so evil, you know. I hate all my Sony products, they electrocute me every morning. But, for the record, I have far more Sony crap than Microsoft, so
yep.
I don't see why people think we're such Microsoft fanboys.
Yeah, I do, too. It's like I've bought I don't know how many TVs in my life, but only one of them was not a Sony.
Look, there's a Sony Sony digital camera sitting right there, right next to my Sony stereo.
Yeah, and I did just buy a Sony camera a week or two ago.
Oh, yeah?
So it's...
Get one of the cyber shots? Or...
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't have any complaints with it. Oh, I don't have Sony monitors, though. Oh, well. Anyway, yeah, but I think some people don't like the DRM in a... this will come back to what we're talking about with Xbox Live. They're like, oh, there's DRM on the Blu-ray discs, and you can't copy them as easily as HD DVD.
Yeah, it's like, who gives a shit?
Right, okay, if it's downloading content to your Xbox... And he had to be logged on to Live, which may or may not work around Christmas. Yes, then DRM's annoying. But you either are buying a Blu-ray disc or you're a pirate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's no middle ground on that.
Right. So obviously the studios are going to want the more protected one.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, let's say you're the average movie pirate and you work at McDonald's, okay? Well, what if everyone just could go through the drive-thru and, like, just pull the hamburgers right out, you know, the back of the store? Guess what? You wouldn't have a job. Everyone wants to think everyone in Hollywood is, you know, Michael Bay or Steven Spielberg, but it's also, there's a lot of people that have, like, you know, regular middle-income jobs that, like, you know, sweep things or, like, do engineering stuff.
Yeah.
Like the writer's strike,
just
you know?
Like with the writer's strike, yeah.
You know, it really affects the working class people.
Yeah.
Because they don't have million-dollar contracts like Conan O'Brien or whoever does.
They're just day-to-day, and there's no
work now.
Yeah.
Right, so, you know, I guess people need to think about that, and why wouldn't they want to protect their discs?
Yeah.
DRM and, like iTunes files that you might want to copy... That's one thing, but if it's a physical disc, you've got the physical disc, you know?
Yeah.
I don't think you should complain about it so much.
I agree.
Okay, well, I think we've just about used up all our time and then some.
Awesome.
Oh, wait, shit, we forgot to talk about Elisha Dushku in this episode.
Oh, what were we thinking?
Yeah, was she in that Bring It On movie that you used to watch all the time?
Yep, she was in the first one.
Yes.
I probably watched it about as much as you watched Wimbledon.
Yeah, what is with, what's her face?
Yeah, Kirsten Dunst.
She
she makes these, like, addictive movies or something, I don't know.
I know, I've watched Spider-Man 2 more times than I care to admit. Oh, no, wait, I'm not ashamed of it.
Did you watch Spider-Man 2.1 yet?
I watched it while sawing copper pipes in half yesterday.
Nice.
Yeah, it had some cool new scenes. I mean, you know, nothing that, you know, was made a big difference, but...
Yeah.
Hell, I don't know. I love Spider-Man 2, so why not?
Very well.
I don't know if it's as good as Wimbledon, though.
Probably not.
Oh, not Elizabethtown, though. I know you liked it, didn't you?
Yeah, it's all right. I mean, it's, you know, completely ridiculous and everything, but I don't know. It still entertains me.
Yeah, it was okay.
Maybe just because it has that part with the flaming bird thing flying while the sprinklers are going off and the band's playing Free Bird. That's pretty entertaining, but... Shit's like on fire, sprinklers are going off, and the dude, somebody in the band doesn't want to keep playing, and he's just like, no, keep going!
All right. Well, we'll talk to you in a couple more weeks where we'll have a complete review of every Kirsten Dunst movie ever made.
Yeah.
Including Jumanji.
And Interview with the Vampire.
Oh, that's right!